You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, and to all our listeners, happy Passover, happy Good Friday coming up tomorrow, and happy Easter, and it's also happy full moon, which we just had on the 1st, so a lot of cycle stuff coming into play here in the markets. And in addition, of course, we've got the Artemis spaceship orbiting the Earth, and I just read that there's some disturbance, a geomagnetic storm occurring around the Earth right now. It's intensified to a G2 moderate level, but it says that the crew of Artemis, even though they're still orbiting the Earth and they prepare for their translunar rejection burn, they should be safe because the G2 storm is not strong enough to cause problems. So it's amazing. And believe me, it's not talked about in the media, but the scientists are monitoring that geomagnetic storm that just happened to pop up at this time. So hopefully they're correct and it has no impact. But what's frustrating is the fact that it's just a circumnavigation of the moon and not a landing, which they're more incapable of doing, which has happened, in my opinion, many times in the last 50 years that we're just not told about. But that's my own research and insights. In any event, Godspeed to them, and hopefully they're safe.
So it was solar flares that caused the glitch to their toilet then, right?
That might be it. Yeah. That might be it.
A hell of a place to get a sunburn. Now,
that's true.
Now, let's take a look at the stock markets this week. What's going on there?
Well, remember last April, we had that Liberation Day crash, and here we are April again, and it seems like this time of year, is a time period for volatility. And then, as you recall, I've been predicting and talking about this for quite some time, to watch out from February forward, particularly into the vernal equinox, which is March 20th, 22nd, and of course the infamous Ides of March and all these dates that seem to coincide with volatility, at least in many instances, at least we saw last year, and in many other instances, negative market environment. So we're in it. The question is, are we coming out of it or not? Crude oil backed off a little bit. A lot of talk about what's going to happen with the Straits of Hormuz and, the whole war effort. It's so news-driven, as you know. I mean, you're a news media person, obviously, and you monitor this stuff. I mean, it's like minute to minute what's coming out of the White House, what's coming out of the military. Today we saw Donald Trump fire or relieve Pam Bondi from her position as Attorney General, which was a big shock to me, but apparently she's going to be slotted for another position somewhere else. So there's always political news affecting the market. So, the story officially is the markets have been affected by the crude oil price. But, we saw distribution in the market last fall, and we started warning about it then. With the big name Mag 7 stocks were topping out, and you can say, well, they knew the war was coming, and they were selling early, and you can speculate that maybe that was also the case. But it said that the market was in trouble. And we've been spot on in calling the decline, which I think overall is not done. I still think there's more overall to the downside, Jim. But, we're coming into this cycle period, and, we can get our stage around another rally. And of course, we got the midterm elections coming up and what type of volatility we're going to see between now and then. I mean, literally, we're trading day to day. I mean, it's been an excellent opportunity. I have to tell you, it's one of the most exciting times for trading. I mean, we sold inverse ETFs yesterday, took nice profits. We were short NVIDIA. We took some profits there. We were long some of the gold and silver plays. And when they popped up, we took a quick profit there because we're uncertain whether gold and silver had bottomed yet or not. you know, names like Costco and all these other plays that we've been in, just trading all over the place. So, and then of course, there's been some activity in the SpaceX related stocks that are tied to the satellite system and so forth, which is really exciting. They've been going up despite the overall market because of the tie-in with you know, the space program and with the satellites and so forth, and the upcoming sometime, we don't know when, whether it's this year or next year, the SpaceX public offering, which I'm sure you've all read, you know, supposed to be the largest public offering of all time. So just, you know, just a lot of, you know, there's always stuff. I mean, you know, the markets, you know, of course, we called the top. If you recall, we said, you know, bull trap when the Dow hit 50,000, and that was a bullseye. We dropped only a mere 5,000 points since then. But it's just an exciting time. This is the most exciting times to be in the market with the volatility and the technicals calling some of these swings. And, you know, I tend to be very short term anyway. You know, I'm in stuff for sometimes a little bit longer, but I generally trade for a few days and in and out. And I just enjoy the action and enjoy the volatility and the sport and fun of the whole thing. I mean, to me, it's, you know, the biggest horse race on the planet, you know, so I just, you know, just enjoy that. And whether, you know, we've hit a big bottom yet, that I can't say. You know, we may see another trading bottom here. It's all, again, so news-driven. But definitely, you know, you find places to put your money. You know, there's always, you know, with the expression Jim Cramer came up with, I believe he did, there's a bull market somewhere, and we try to find it. I mean, you know, whether it was the oil stocks going up or satellite related issues now, or gold and silver for a while, you know, there's always a place that money is moving, and hopefully, you know, we can continue to monitor that with our volume study. So anyway, long and short is we have a holiday weekend coming up. We stayed out of the market. We took profits yesterday and in cash, and we're just going to watch through the long weekend and see what surprises, if any, come in by Monday, and we'll try to determine from that point on whether indeed the market has bottomed or not. My gut feeling is I don't think it really has, you know, near term, but if the numbers turn, we'll act accordingly.
What's your take on what's going on with gold? It fell in price. Many people would expect it to go up when you're in the middle of a war.
Well, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mentioned that before. You know, when liquidation occurs in the market, people have to sell some things to raise cash, or if they're on margin in their accounts, they have to raise cash. And over time, gold and silver tend to move with the equity market, not inversely, as you might think. There are some times where it does, but generally it moves with the overall market. So it's a risk-on asset, as Bitcoin and crypto have been as well. And by the way, crypto and Bitcoin, the whole sector, has been acting better the last, you know, few weeks than the overall market has. Not going up big, but stopping the decline and sort of trying to trend a little bit higher during this time frame. But to answer your question with the gold and silver, I can build all kinds of scenarios for you. I mean, big picture, it's up, and I could have said that to you 35 years ago. And last year and every, you know, day in between, that's the major trend. The chart said we blew off to the upside, and there was risk back to as low as 3,500. So far we got to about 4,200. And we'll see. There's no guarantee it'll get to that lower number, but the charts say it's possible. Silver, even before it got to 100, I said if it goes to 100, watch out. It can go back to 50. I said this back in January. So that's your risk. It, you know, and I would say it couldn't go lower, but that's sort of a chart number potential. And I could be wrong, and it could just blast right off here and go back to 120 and gold back up to the 5,600 level. But you have to be aware of those corrective levels if you're, you know, looking to add to positions or taking new positions so you don't get caught in case there is more of a correction. So I'm biased, you know, overall to the upside, but the charts say it's a little tenuous right here. You know, have we bottomed and going to take off big, or we're going to go back to those lower levels? If you're in core positions, I would hold those. You know, again, the big trend is up. But again, I could have said this to you many times over in the last 3 or 4 years, and it would have been frustrating if it didn't go up every day. But, you know, we had a big blow-off, you know? I mean, that was one hell of a move. I mean, for years and years and years of watching, as you know, silver go nowhere. I mean, trading, you know, $15, $16, then up to 30, then back to 20, and you would think it would never, ever take out that $50 high, and just sitting for years waiting for this. I mean, it's crazy. Then suddenly it takes off, blows off to the upside. So it was like, you know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I mean, it was like I don't want to say it's once in a lifetime, but it could have possibly be a once in a lifetime opportunity for something that's trading at 20 to go to 120 and make all that kind of money quickly. I mean, it's almost like, you know, take your profits and run and forget about silver, you know, look for something else. I mean, that's been for years in the making, you know, something like that to happen. So, you know, you could get, you know, disappointed that it could take months or years for it to go back to that level again. It could happen. And, depends on your age and, you know, how many years do you have to wait. So that's why I tend to be more trading oriented. You know, those who held it and sold it and made a nice profit, congratulations to them. You know, I got out in the 90s for myself. I didn't catch 120 high, but I got, you know, nice little profit in there. And, you know, I'm just sort of waiting and watching on the sidelines and honestly looking for other markets because, I don't know if we're going to see that same type of parabolic move in silver and gold again for a while. Hopefully I'm wrong for the bulls, but that might have been it for a while.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, anything going on in the uranium market?
Oh, that's a good question. Nothing spectacular. Uranium had topped out a few weeks ago. As all the metals did, you know, backed off, and a little bit of a correction underway here, as we saw with lithium, as we saw in palladium, platinum, you know, all the resource plays. The only one that went contra was crude oil. Natural gas didn't follow at all, which was sort of surprising. But it's still, you know, it's had a nice little correction. So, you know, I'm looking at a uranium ETF that dropped from in the last several weeks from 62 to 44. So, you know, maybe we're watching here a little bit of a trading bottom after a multi-week correction. So probably a little more bullish now on it now that it's seen a little shakeout. Nothing is dead in the uranium world, that's for sure, you know, with all the plans for all the plants and generators to be built and utilized and the military use of it and so forth. So I'm a bull. You know, it's had a correction, and it has, you know, day-to-day practical application and use, you know, both in terms of the generators and military and so forth. So I would say I'm a little more bullish on that than gold and silver and some of the other metals, but it is coming off a little bit of a trading bottom, so I would say it looks okay.
The state of Maine is the first to ban the expansion of any more AI data centers, citing the drain on resources, water to cool them, the electricity use for them, driving up power bills. Is that the tip of the iceberg, a punchback or a reaction to AI?
Well, many of those that are building the plants, I've read some articles, and I probably know a minimal amount about the details, but apparently they're trying to placate the local communities and insisting that it won't do as you say, that it won't affect their bills, and in fact perhaps provide more power to them at a cheaper price. And that's what the story is being told, at least in some locations where the local communities are objecting to it. You know, big money is going to control this. I mean, when you have the government behind it, generous contracts. You've got the big public companies, you know, like Microsoft and the others, you know, funding a lot of the AI centers and you know, companies like GE Vernova, you know, building reactors for both natural gas, by the way, and for nuclear. The powers that be are controlling this. I mean, for years, as you know, uranium, nuclear was just the dirty word, you know, and you just couldn't even talk to anybody about it. And then when the street decides that they can make money with AI and they need the power, and the power could come from nuclear, suddenly uranium and everything takes off, and the big money started getting behind it, along with the government. So the local communities, you know, have a concern, but I think they're going to be placated. I mean, they're going to do what they can, you know, to make them happy, you know, whatever that might be. You know, they have to negotiate community by community about, you know, their concerns about it. But, you know, there are concerns, but I think, you know, technology is there where they could, you know, then they could make it better, or, like I said, in some instances, actually help the local residents by generating power at less cost rather than increased cost. I know they're worrying about, you know, pollution effects and, more, as you said, water issues, but these are technological issues that can be solved. So I don't have any firm prediction, but my gut feeling is where the money is, and that's where the power is, and that's going to be the people that solve the problem. It's not going to be the communities. They could try to stop it, but there's too much power and force behind it. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to change direction. Just my own gut feeling, you know.
Anything going on in the cannabis field?
Not really. It's sort of dead as a doornail here, you know, where everybody's waiting for the rescheduling, and still hasn't happened. Stocks are cheap, you know. I would say you should own some because they're so cheap compared to where they've been, and at some point there's going to be another big spike in them. So I would take a look at the ETFs that track cannabis, not necessarily individual names. Some of them trade around nicely. A couple of these low price ETFs trade between $3 and $4 back and forth, and with heavy volume. So there's, you know, definitely trading interest in those. But to make a long story short, the rescheduling doesn't solve the problem. We still have banking issues, and ultimately, as was done in Canada, we need to have it federally legalized, you know, across the USA to really clean the slate. And I have no idea when that's going to happen. You know, it should have happened before now, and it hasn't.
Well, it would certainly take a chunk of cash out of the hands of organized crime.
That would help. Yep. I mean, there's a black market for the cannabis everywhere. Still is. It's amazing what's going on. You can buy it in the stores or stand outside and buy it cheaper.
Yeah, well, in British Columbia, the privately sold pot is better and less expensive. Only the government could lose money selling drugs.
I guess.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
You know, I'm just on hold here a little bit into the long holiday weekend. And, you know, watching, as I said, this time of year for, you know, a potential change of direction here in the market, possibly. Hopefully to the upside, since we ran into this low period during the expected cyclical weakness period. So, and then, you know, you got the midterm elections coming up in November, the quote-unquote summer rally, is that going to come? So, you know, we're just, these are sort of near-term comments, but we're just sort of taking it a day at a time. And, you know, just follow the tracks in the sand, follow the volume. See where the money is going. You know, you can see the stocks that are being talked about, that are moving, and that, you know, trade those. And for those who are uncertain about the markets, there's nothing wrong in sitting in some treasury bills until the air clears.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us, and enjoy the long weekend.
Same to you all. Yeah, happy Easter, Passover, and Good Friday to all.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.